And just as Reedy was happy to see someone, I'm happy to see Esther in the crowd, because we've really leveraged a lot of the information that her Center of Excellence has worked on for probably quite some time. So you've heard these two talk about, you know, two actually out there working, one system, one list, and the reportable condition knowledge base. We're going to talk about the vision here. It really is part of the CDC, CSTE, ELR task force. How many acronyms can I have?
We exceeded your quota.
I did, and I made up reportable condition knowledge base, so it's my fault too. Everything needs an acronym, though. But it was part of that effort where they wanted to do reportable condition knowledge base, or a knowledge base requirement. So these are, and this is, we're going to talk about the vision, and then Sanjeev's going to pick up on some environmental scan of existing knowledge base and knowledge base like efforts. There we go. Oh, our disclaimer. We needed to put this in here, so I'm not going to read it, just going to pass through it. And both Rita and Monica talked about the strengths and the weaknesses of their respective systems. I mean, you know, this has been great work, and it's, you know, we called it the building blocks. And I'm doing the same as you, looking over here, when I've got this cool display right here. But you heard them talk about where we had SRCA has state jurisdictions in which condition is reportable. They don't have the local. So there's, you know, I'm not going to read all these off, but there's, you know, some things missing. And we got down to annual survey, which was the last question there. Can we do a quarterly survey? Funny you should ask. We're trying to build upon that to make this a bit less static and a little less descriptive, a less point in time, you know, so that we're not saying once a year, tell me what you reported. But to make it more real-time updates, so that you could actually say, I have a new, you know, I've got an outbreak going on, I have a new reporting condition, I've got something that else I need to ask people to report to public health, and make it more real-time. And we are trying to get from, like I said, static, descriptive criteria to more dynamic, I called it atomic criteria, and it's more that computer useful one. You can see Rita put the obligatory informatics slides up, and you saw this big list on, I think it was with chlamydia that you were showing, and it wasn't a small list. Well, and that's the information that the, you know, you can say report chlamydia, and the labs need to report it. But here's the explosion of lab tests that apply to that, and here's a long list of lab test results that indicate that condition. So we're trying to move things with this knowledge base from more human readable to more computer readable. To help, one of the big things is to help support the electronic data exchange, meaningful use, to allow some more use of decision support systems that are, if you don't already have them, are coming with more EHRs and more LIS. There's going to be a lot more decision support to help out the doctors. So we do want to go from surveys and epidemiological studies and things that, like I said, people input into something much more informatics driven, so that we can use electronic detection systems, we can leverage all these cool EHRs and other things that healthcare is now coming on board with. So it really is, we're at the imagine. You know, imagine a day when the reporting entities know what you want them to report, and they know details about what you want them to report, so that you're not inundated with a lot of information that, you know, honestly you can't do anything about with, or you don't really want, but you can provide those details to them, and they can, that's part of the system tomorrow, not in 2 years after they're done with the development, and unfortunately things have changed. So it's also using a decision support system. Imagine when the lab results, medical records, and all the other information that related to the health of the population are continuously monitored for conditions and criteria of public health interest. These might be a little pie in the sky, but you know, we got to dream first and then work to it. So that our public health reporting occurs automatically with little or no workflow impact. That's so a laboratorian doesn't have to remember this test result needs to be reported, that the computer system knows that and can report it for them. And that public health officials and practitioners spend more time doing what they need to do, analyzing information, discovering data, feeding it into policy recommendations, all that public health really needs to do, so that they're not, flipping through pages or trying to manually and laboriously look through information. So these are kind of our big goals. In order to help that, we've kind of developed this knowledge management spectrum that we're trying to move from this descriptive, unstructured knowledge, the things that are in the laws and CSTE position statements, things that people read and understand, into something that's explicit, it's structured, because computers speak ones and zeros, some states that's all they know, and executable knowledge, so that we can move that out of the, or let's say leverage what's in those position statements, what's in the laws, and turn them into something that the computers can understand and utilize. This is kind of our vision for the I wrote most of it, so my vision for the knowledge base, so that you can get rapid dissemination of reportable conditions, criteria, content, build upon what SRCA and RCMT has done to make it something that's more comprehensive, that they now work together, and you got something that you can disseminate to your reporters without easily, quickly. And so that provide some easily implemented computer executable criteria, something that once you receive it, that computer knows what to do with it and can just add it to the decision support or filtering system. So it would also be source of truth for the reportable conditions or criteria, certainly not the force of law, but it would work with that. That would be kind of frightening, a computer with the force of law. It's almost worse than hell, isn't it? And so that we can support national and jurisdictional reporting requirements. And I listed it as jurisdictional, state, local, whoever has reporting requirements. And this is our purpose. So that we've got public health subject matter experts. They're proposed to be the user of the system, just like SRCA, that they would add this information. They would be the ones to handle that. And we'd run it through, probably need another set of users that kind of understand more the informatics side, so that we can get the standard data elements, link it to standard vocabulary terms like the RCMT, and turn it into executable criteria that would be delivered to decision support or filtering systems. And when we were doing all this work on the requirements, we kept finding there's other ones out there. So that's where Sanjeev was doing some work on the environmental scan, and let's see. And so he's going to talk about these current knowledge-based projects and what he did on that environmental scan.
Hi, I'm Sanjeev. So first I'd like to share with you how I got involved into this project. And when I actually came on board at CDC in 2009, there was a project led by actually Ruth Ann and Lisa Ferland is there in the audience. So it was the knowledge base of state and nationally notifiable conditions. And then I did a evaluation for SRCA. You have heard from Monica about that. And then I got involved into RCMT. So while I was going through all this, on one of the RCMT report out meetings, it came to light that there are so many other projects which are probably not exactly running in parallel, but can reuse some of the things which are being generated here or have been already talked about in earlier efforts like the knowledge base of state and nationally notifiable conditions and RCMT. And so what we did was actually I didn't sleep one night, devised a template like 20 questions, and with a brief introduction, sent it out with an email to the folks I discovered they were actually doing all these projects. And next morning, they were looking for me with guns. They said, like, what do you think? We have a day job. You send us a question template, 20 questions. We cannot answer this. So I actually went and hid in my director's room and actually told her that, can you initiate a conference call with all these folks and let's explain to them. And she said, hey, Sanjeev, why do you always get me into trouble? Like, and so I said, like, it was on purpose. I want to shock them first that this is what they should be, like, you know, answering these bunch of questions. This is a request for information. So anyways, we went through that conference call and explained to them, like, see, this is what we are trying to do. And they had their inputs to the template, so tweaked the template, and then we sent it out to them and then had a one-on-one with them. So these are the projects which we actually reached out to. One of them was RCMT, and we have Rita here as the co-chair of the ELR task force providing leadership for that with Suntech Ganeshan. She answered that, and then Cindy was doing the knowledge-based requirements gathering from a system perspective, so I talked to her one-on-one, and then she answered the whole template. Then there were a couple of other projects which nobody actually knew about, and they were, like, happening somewhere. For example, the Advanced Message Validation Service, which was also, like, people are fond of acronyms, so Electronic Public Health Reporting Ontology, a proof of concept stage project, which was like the intent was to evaluate the feasibility of utilizing ontology to semantically validate electronic messages for electronic lab reporting, public health case reports, and case notifications. Then there was another effort being carried out at CDC through some of the contracts with the OntoReason and Public Health Data Standard Consortium for standardization of electronic lab data exchange. And this effort was really focused on harmonization of some of those standards which were there. And then we came across another group led by John Ablera for case reporting standardization, talking about those things. And if you can, like, if you stop here, this list is actually providing various pieces which can come into play and be parts of that knowledge base which is being talked about here. So, and then we had Ruth Ann with Jennifer Ward for SRCA and CST, Lisa Furlan, Monica Wong. This is, again, a very useful tool. I did an evaluation for this, so I really knew how useful this was for, like, reporting. And then there was a Center of Excellence project at Utah led by Catherine Stace, which was called Just-in-Time Delivery of Public Health Knowledge. There were some pieces which were being talked about there, like requirements gathering and prototyping, which were also part of the third project, which is the Electronic Public Health Reporting Ontology. And the fourth project, which is their standardization of electronic lab data, actually gave birth to an ontology which can be reused by the EFRON project. So I'll just try to give you a sense what was my structure template about and what were the kind of questions we were trying to ask these folks. I've already alluded to that. And this is what we came out with. So in the center, we had, like, the RCMT project running with what already has been described. And then there were, like, certain efforts being carried out in the case reporting domain and with SRCA. Like, SRCA, as you already heard, is a kind of iterative tool. CST and CDC, they make really, like, work hard to make it better every year. And we have the team here, Diana Onwe and Mieng Park, really working very hard to make it better every year and try to bring in more functionalities there. Then was this effort by Cindy Vinian about requirements gathering from a system perspective, and the COE project from Utah. They were also gathering requirements for the public health knowledge base. And I already mentioned the OntoReason ontology. And to top it all came another, like, two parts, effort in two parts. One was the electronic public health ontology I mentioned based on message validation. and another was the COE at Utah, again trying to prototype, and it's a kind of a design and develop a prototype, which was supposed to be a standardized system for reporting and would have specifications. The specs can be authored and maintained by public health. So this is what we actually found in this whole effort. And based on this, there was another thing happening on the sideline, which is meaningful use. So when we were listening to the meaningful use discussion at the ONC, they were actually talking about public health case reporting. So they said, okay, it's public health surveillance, syndromic surveillance, we have immunization, we have electronic lab reporting, we have in meaningful use, but maybe everything needs to culminate into public health case reporting. So working on all this, and I have an executive summary of 3 pages, but the whole report is actually 55 pages, which was based on the information provided by each of these projects. So what we thought was there are 2 approaches to go with this kind of a project. Either we set up a knowledge-based work group, and we have leadership on this table right here, like Ruth Ann, Rita, and they have been working in this domain for a long time, and bring all these, at least these 7 players on the table, so that at least they get informed what each one of them are doing. And that's what we tried to a certain extent, mediated these calls and brought all of them together to know and learn about each other's products and how they can actually reuse those things. So, and another approach which we thought was a more bigger effort, which probably didn't work that way, establishing a public health case reporting work group, because there are certain parallel initiatives which are happening, like the SNI public health reporting initiatives. So maybe scaling it down to the knowledge-based work group, all these folks working together and feeding all this effort to that public health case reporting initiative. Thank you. I'll take any questions.
Actually, I think I will, but real quick. Is that the end of the talk, or are you standing up again? Yeah, I hadn't planned on it, but actually we're doing a shameless plug. Because tomorrow we have a knowledge-based workshop, we're calling it. It is unfortunately all day, 8 to 5. I am so sorry. I'm ready to go home, and I live close by, and I stay in here anyway. But it is an open meeting, so if you are here tomorrow and you're interested in this topic and want to help define the next steps and just want to bring your issues to the table and the problems that you have, bring your solutions. Everything is open, and it is, like I said, it is tomorrow, I believe, in one of the Hanover rooms, and open invitation, so please come.
It's in the program. It's hiding under the ELR standards work group, something or other. So
ancillary meeting.
Ancillary meeting. Yeah.
Where's the microphone in the wireless? Okay. Does anybody have any questions? And
we do have one.
Well,
this one.
Okay.
Go to me.
Okay. So the question is: are there any plans to transition from using NNDL to a popular standard like ICD-10? Answer, I will give the panelists your question. I guess they're talking about the event codes?
Yes.
Is there any plans to transition the event code list to a popular standard like ICD-10? None that I know of.
And we'll challenge whether ICD is popular or not. ICD-10.
Especially 10. So actually, there are 2 lists of conditions that I'm aware of in NEDS, used by NEDS. The NNDSS uses a proprietary code list for conditions that were established as a transmission directly to our CDC team at the NNDSS team at CDC. And then I think SUNDAC actually assigns codes for other conditions that are reported through NEDS, whether it's foodborne or other conditions, that are assigned differently. And I think those are based on standards, but I'm not entirely... Is it SNOMED? Oh, okay, so SNOMED. But we're not working toward transitioning any event codes to ICD-10 at this point. But you know, one of the questions could be, well, what standard do we use? You know, maybe there's gaps in SNOMED. I don't know. Does anybody know more about that than me? Rita, do you have anything to add about that?
Oh, that's always a dangerous question. Sundek tried as hard as he could. And is he in the room? No. To map the NND, the Nationally Notifiable Diseases List, to SNOMED. And there's just the way that the names of the conditions are constructed does not allow for an easy mapping of many of them to one-to-one with SNOMED. In many cases, if you're familiar with the term pre-coordination and post-coordination, in many cases you'd have to combine multiple terms to accurately represent the full meaning of an NND term. So it's a complicated sort of semantic and vocabulary problem, and at this point, as Ruth Ann said, the NND list does stand as its own standard terminology. I think that one of the challenges in the whatever set of knowledge resources we create is going to be creating the mappings between representations in different coding systems. And if you're familiar with UMLS, the Unified Medical Language System, the product of NLM, that's been their business for a decade or more, creating mappings between different coding systems. So I think at the point at which we really dig into that, we're going to tap into the resources that exist with expertise in that realm.
Now, I do have to say that some of the naming conventions for the event codes are really an artifact of the legacy system. And when we are able to actually fully transition to NEDS, we would be getting away from those things. So like an example of that, I don't want to go into examples, but some of it is just an artifact of how the data were transmitted to us and the limited amount of information that could be transmitted through the legacy system. Mm-hmm. Are there any other questions? Well, we got through. Well, I want to say something. We have been talking about the development of a knowledge base. I mean, we all know this. Since probably, 2002 or 2003, and it's been very hard to get any traction on this. I think initially it was because it's an immense, when people start thinking about it, it's like an immense project. And it's very complicated. And I think that was some of the, limitations that people had early on. I think people are very concerned about the amount of effort that would go into not only creating this, but maintaining the information and updating the information, how much time that would take. There were also some estimates for, like, the cost of the knowledge base that was huge. And in this resource-constrained environment that we now live in, I hope we can achieve it, but I just think it's going to be hard to convince people to move in that direction. So, Rita, it looks like you have some thoughts on that topic.
Yeah, sure. I think there's a couple of points. One is we're not talking about a monolithic system, which I think is kind of how it was bid in the past of create a knowledge base. I think one of the things that's clear from this presentation and others that you've heard is that we're talking about a component system. We're talking about a knowledge resource where, from the user's perspective, let's say I'm a laboratory and I have client, or let's say I'm a laboratory information system vendor, probably even a better example. I got clients in a variety of jurisdictions, and I want to provide a public health reporting module that meets their needs. I go to one door, and I get all of the information that I need to populate my electronic systems in a way that allows me to do that. What's behind that door, the gory details aren't necessarily surfaced to me. So, RCMT calls to FinVADS to get information about terminology from the vocabulary server is going to be part of it. That's going to live as itself. It exists. We're not going to recreate that. We're not going to rebuild it as part of a knowledge base. However we bring the SRCA data into the system, that's potentially going to live as its own thing. And so there are ways, and we've got a systems engineer here, to make that happen without it being a monolithic system. And Sanjeev's point is that a lot of the components are being worked on now. what we need to do, what we're hoping to do, what the ELR standards work group was trying to do, is define the problem clearly enough so that we could say this piece, play into it in these ways and link together in this way. So requirements definition, domain analysis and business process review to make sure we're all talking about the same thing, and then trying to figure out a way forward that isn't going to cost $1 billion, because we recognize that's not going to happen. On the other hand, I don't see how we can make advances in electronic reporting from EHRs and from laboratories without this. Like, the way we're doing it now is not sustainable. So we're spending $1 billion, on our side in the public health agencies trying to deal with the results of the variation and the results of poor information availability, and worse yet, our clinical partners are spending billions of dollars to cope with our inadequacies. I don't think that can continue. Yes.
Wait till you get the microphone so everyone can hear.
The talking stick.
Dennis McDowell. I retired from CDC a few years ago as division director and have been interested in this area. I'm now working with Cadence Group, an information knowledge management company, with a contract to CDC. And we, in our environmental scanning, see these projects bubbling up all over the CDC. Mm-hmm. CDC is its mission is supported by information, knowledge, data. It can't do without it.
That's right.
But and the passion at the project level is overwhelming. It's wonderful. And the possessiveness is equally overwhelming and a barrier. This area of probably is the most important area for CDC across the organization to figure out how to collaborate. Because I think you're right. There's not going to be a monolithic system that will work, but you're still spending millions at the division and branch level doing silo work, which results in wonderful lessons learned but not shared. Narrow constituents' needs being met, but others ignored. And I challenge CDC top leadership. I don't think it's your problem. I think it's the problem at the top of the agency to provide the leadership, to stimulate incentives, to enable collaboration in this area to really work. And it actually, I would talk about it as a cost savings business process improvement domain.
Absolutely.
That's how I would want to think about it. I'm sorry, that's an editorial comment.
Can we pay you to come to the workshop tomorrow?
I'm sorry, I can't.
Oh.
This would be where I would go tomorrow if I were going to be able to be here.
And we realized, we tacked it onto the conference because we figured that we might be able to get some people who might not otherwise be in Atlanta, but we do recognize that this is only the next step. One of the metaphors I've been using is, we're not going to reinvent the wheel. Tomorrow we're hoping we can sort of round off some of the square edges and get it rolling down the road a little bit, but this is far from the end of the story, so there's plenty of opportunities for anybody in the room and anybody else they know who might be interested in making this work. And I think your point is extremely well taken. I mean, it's the same problem as siloed systems within a clinical setting. I mean, we've got to talk about, compatible architectures, interoperability, and standards when we're talking about knowledge management, just the same way as when we're talking about, exchanging ELR between labs and public health. So, yeah, that's the kind of thinking that I think will move us down the road is not to say we're going to build this little, yet another silo, but that what we're doing is trying to establish a framework that then can be generalized. I think, again, that's the only way we're going to be able to succeed.
That was great.
Does anybody else have any other comments?
You want to say something?
Actually, are you coming tomorrow? I'm over here going, we need to invite him tomorrow. So I'm sorry you're not going to be here. And that's what we found. Everybody wants a knowledge base. I mean, this effort kind of started as I was brought on and said, hey, you need to work on these requirements. And then as I attended meetings that had nothing to do with that work, we started hearing, everybody wants a knowledge base. And then we actually a lot of people have pieces of it too. So it was, and it just, that's where kind of this came from, was to not build that system. And honestly, it started out as a public health knowledge base. And like, first of all, I can't think that much. There's so much coming out of here that, you know, that I, okay, we need to limit it. That's where it became reportable condition. We can, you know, limit it to labs, clinicians, hospitals reporting, and that's it. Let's start there and see what we get. But then, you know, after we found out that all these other systems were there, I'm like, okay, this isn't a system on itself. And, you know, coming out of the system side, as soon as you copy data, first of all, it's old. And if it's someone else's problem to maintain, then I've got to copy it again and update it. And like, I'm not going to copy. So we really were trying to get this system to be a system of systems. Rita calls it the front door. That's a perfect definition or thought of it, as that one place to come and get this information. And where that information comes from might be a Utah system that's already set up to handle Utah's information, and they've got everything in there. And so we just need to pull from there. It might be coming out of VADS, because they've got the vocabulary. I've been involved with VADS since its inception. I do not want that data anywhere else. Please just keep it there, because it's so much information. And it might be something at Registry for Indiana. So it's just, you know, we've found so many, and what Sanjeev has is just a small slice of internal CDC system as well as external CDC systems. External systems. So it's this could be a big undertaking, but I think it'll be a good thing.
If I might, I have one other follow-up comment. The CDC strategic plan for IT is under review and revision right now. The old plan did not have a single word about knowledge management in it. It dealt with building IT systems, hardware, software, security, and all of those kinds of things. That, in my opinion, of almost no public health value. It's what's in those systems that has the value. And I would encourage Jim Seligman to get serious about incorporating guidance for the agency in that strategic plan, in the area of managing the data and the content and the knowledge in these systems at CDC. And that would be some high-level support for integrating some of these efforts. It would be permission, if you will, to collaborate.
That's a great idea.
Sanjeev, do you want to say something?
I just want to say, like, in the what you talked about in the sense of collaboration and what Rita said, that we just need to set this ball rolling. RCMT actually is a good example of how that collaboration can lead to some good results. Because as we heard here, like, since 2004, those tables were just sitting there. And then this whole collaboration happened between CDC and CST, and there was a core group led by folks here. And then it was made to happen. So those things can happen. Only, I think what Rita said, we need to set that ball rolling.
So you got another question?
I think it's the audio. No, it wasn't a question. It was the audio problem.
Okay. Yeah. And I think I'll just add what folks may have heard me say in other venues, which is this is not a problem that public health is facing by itself. The decision support problem that this represents is entirely parallel to the decision support problems in clinical medicine. We don't have to invent solutions. We have to find partners, and we have to learn from the experience in other settings. We don't have to start doing this from scratch. So, I'm completely committed. The conversations that are going on at ONC and elsewhere about clinical decision support, quality measures, how you express rule-based knowledge in a way that is distributable and shareable and maintainable, again, we don't have to solve this problem by ourselves.
Lisa?
With any large project, it's best to break it off into pieces, and it sounds like people are working on the pieces. Does the panel feel that the pieces that are being worked on are of the highest priority, or are there higher priority pieces to this puzzle that are not being worked on at all by anybody.
I think rather than priority exactly, I think it's, is there a missing puzzle piece? And that, I think all the pieces that are being worked on are important. The piece that the University of Utah folks have been working on, I think the authoring tool that's also, you know, you guys are working on it from the SRCA perspective, but they're also working on it. And the way, the maintenance of the knowledge, I think, has been the piece that, you know, we're all looking at, you know, how we get the data in and how we structure the data and how we, you know, represent it in a standards-based way. That, there's a lot of people thinking about that. But this is a human process. I mean, the creation of law and rule and the maintenance of the knowledge and keeping it updated in real time, that's a huge issue. And you guys know it better than anybody. So I think that that piece probably is going to need more attention than we've paid it so far. You know, how do you know that what's in the system is the truth? How do you know that, and who owns the data? And I think that the answers for those questions are going to differ depending on what the data are. So jurisdictional data, you're going to have ownership still, presumably some of it in the jurisdiction. But there's public health knowledge that should be owned by the nation. And I, for one, don't want to recreate clinical knowledge. I think, you know, a disease is a disease is a disease. I mean, we may have classification criteria that apply for us in public health. But I'd like to think that hepatitis B is hepatitis B, regardless of, you know, whether it's an internist or a primary care physician or a nurse practitioner or a public health practitioner considering the condition. So to the extent that there are clinical knowledge resources that exist out there that describe these things, I don't want to recreate them. I don't have to maintain that knowledge. I don't have to do what Mike's doing and SNOMED's doing. I want to be able to draw on those to feed our system and build and focus on building the part of the knowledge that's public health unique.
Yeah. And even, you know, coming out of the systems eye, what piece to me is missing is what Rita was talking about, the RCMT. You saw the history, Dwyer tables that I think got updated quite a bit, mm-hmm. and then stopped in 2006, picked it up again. There was another one in 2008, wasn't there? Anyway.
Sort of.
So, and the, you know, in 2011, we're doing it again, and then now we've got this maintenance plan, and I think that's the, almost the system side, that's the informatics side. So I think, similar to RCMT, that there's one of the missing pieces that I see is the stewardship of the data, not, I think, actually getting it from state epidemiologists and from the people that are feeding, like SRCA, might actually be the easy part. But turning that into that computer processable thing and taking that, you know, a piece of criteria that says, you know, test for a positive culture for TB or something like that, into what does that mean in computer speak and in link codes and in SNOMED codes and help us when we, you know, get to age distinctions. That takes a different kind of person, a different kind of brain. I think we all want to clone Sundac, and I think we're going to have to do it again and find people that do that kind of work. And I think that's almost that maintenance of the information that's in a system for systems is might be the biggest challenge, is finding that people that kind of speak public health but really speak computers. I think that's going to be our biggest thing. And I know you've got them.
So what Lisa said about prioritizing, I think that is to a certain extent correct, because in the current fiscal environment, the seven projects I mentioned, some of them are already at risk to lose funding. First thing. And second thing which came out from this report was the principle of reuse. So if OntoReason has already created an ontology, nobody else needs to recreate that ontology. They can just reuse it. If RCMT has done a certain piece of work, the other project can actually take it from there and reuse it.
I think it has to be built with that in mind, that it's going to be reused, because we've built many things that we thought we could reuse that we couldn't for various reasons. So it definitely has to be built with that in mind.
Yeah, that's probably going to be one of the bigger challenges, too, is actually going to be that sure. I'm not sure where the phone mic is, and some days I don't speak that. I think that's going to be one of the biggest challenges is to we call it reportable condition mapping table, or sorry, knowledge base. So it was focused on reportable condition, the ELR part, the case reporting. Thank you. We're not even thinking case notification yet. So, but there are other large use cases that can be supported. And it is going to be the hard part is trying to figure out what we build is extensible and reusable, and that's going to be a big challenge. And I think we finally, with the advent of all the, with ELR and all the other information systems that are starting to get out there, that I'm kind of hoping that's what's going to happen. It's probably the biggest thing is to reuse so that we could provide that executable criteria that could be used to filter data for public health perspective, not just to deliver data to public health, but to also, take it and parse it out to the different programs. Many challenges ahead.
True, but again, I think I want to underline the fact that we're not alone, and we don't have to reinvent the wheel. The healthcare quality measures format, a way of distributing information about how you construct a quality measure, what's in the numerator, what's in the denominator, and how that's expressed in a machine processable format, in this case as part of a CDA document that can be consumed by an EHR that needs to produce those quality measures for meaningful use. Also, all of the work that's being done within HL7 and elsewhere on logic expression languages, if you will, everything from Arden syntax to Jello to all the other different ways of expressing rules, Drool's rules. I love that name. But the bottom line, again, is that if we adhere to standards and we're consistent with the efforts in other domains, we won't come up with something that sits on a shelf, because we'll be aligned with the way the industry is moving.
Oh. Yes? Just thinking about a lot of things swirling around. One of the things that we put into the document that we have a document on the requirements was that this executable criteria and stuff is already happening. So any LIS or any other system in a lab that does automatic ELR or is already using whatever they can find, whatever they need, whatever they're told from laws to SRCA to RCMT, now they're already taking that information and programming that criteria so they can actually do the automatic ELR. When we get to automatic case reporting out of an EHR, they're going to be doing that. So the work's being done. We're trying to make it easier. Thinking about the resource savings, I think that's a large picture of resource savings. And is it public health's concern that every LIS vendor, every lab that has an integration broker, every hospital that has an EHR, they're all doing this for us. And they have to do it again and again as we update the information from public health. So we're trying to make that easier and faster and reusing this executable criteria we're proposing to come out of the knowledge base and make it so that every time a person sees it, they can make mistakes, and so we're trying to get that one thing so that they're not making, so we limit the mistakes, we limit the amount that other people are paying for their vendors to update things every year, every quarter, every month, if that's what it takes.
Any other comments or questions? Well, thank you for joining us, and I hope you have a nice lunch.
Yeah. Yeah.